Well, we're going to open the Word this morning. Let's just bow our heads before we do. Father, we just thank you, Lord, that you've already been speaking to us, Lord, through the worship, Lord. You laid things upon our hearts. Father, you've spoken prophetically to us. And Father, even for your Word now, Lord, we open our hearts that you might speak to us for your Word this day, Lord. We just want to honour you, Lord, with every part of ourselves. We'll give you our attention, Lord, as your Word is open to us. Speak to us, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, continuing on with our theme for the year, Kingdom Reign. If you don't know what our theme is for the year, welcome. It's your first Sunday. Other than that, you should know what our theme is for the year about Kingdom Reign. The scripture this year that we've really been focusing on, Psalm 145:13, your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is faithful to all his promises and loving toward all he has made. And so that's the type of kingdom, the type of king that we're following in our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to talk this morning about a little bit about the Lord's Prayer, which was given to the disciples to pray. It's called the Lord's Prayer, but really probably better to be called the disciples or the people's prayer, really. Jesus' prayer or the Lord's Prayer is probably in John 17, where he gives that final prayer where he's crying out that's recorded for us in detail. But this prayer in Matthew 6, I want to have a look at this scripture, and particularly about it talks about his kingdom coming within this scripture. So you all trust you're familiar with this. Some of you can parrot it, some can recite it, some have memorized it, and some of us know those words. But I want to really look at what this really means. So let's have a look at this. Matthew 6 and verses 9 to 13. Now this is Jesus telling them how to pray, by the way. Jesus has already told them, he said, look guys, reality is it's not because you say a whole lot of fancy words that I'm going to listen to you. He said that people babble on, and even in the Pharisees and others, they babble on and say a whole lot of stuff and a whole lot of fancy words. And because the sheer volume of words and the eloquence, whatever they're saying, is if that's somehow God's going to listen to that. God's not impressed with a whole bunch of words or eloquence. He's impressed with our hearts. And he says, look, ever know your heart before you pray. But then he tells them to pray after saying in verse 8, the Lord already knows what you need. He already knows that before you ask for it. But then he tells us to do this thing called prayer. And I want to talk about this in context of thy kingdom come and have a look at this. Perhaps maybe you've never seen these things before. This is Jesus talking. He says, this is then how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors, or trespasses in some other translations. You probably know it from the King James. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And then you'll find that maybe down the bottom of your Bible, it may or may not have this. Probably a little letter there, a little number there, a little footnote saying, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen and amen. And the reason why that's a little footnote perhaps down the bottom of your Bible there is because in some of the later earlier manuscripts, they found that those phrases wasn't put in there. And so they put that down as a footnote. Certainly that was a common prayer that the Pharisees would use to close off their prayers, and the rabbis would close off that kind of a phrase at the end of those. And personally, I believe it should be there. But that's why I put it in a little footnote down at the bottom. Just before I get into all of these things, just a couple of little things about this prayer. And it's not really what I'm talking about, but good to mention it, where he says, forgive us our debts or trespasses or the things that we do wrong against other people. And as we have forgiven those that have done stuff to us. Now, how many of you pray like that? This is the Lord saying, this is how to pray. By the way, he's not telling people what to pray. He was saying how to pray. This is the things to have in prayer. And now we could look at this and analyze it and say, yes, our prayer starts off with worship, acknowledging God is, and we bring our knees before him and then we honor him. And all of those things are true and correct and are good patterns of how rather than what. But it does talk about in there about the phrase about forgiving others is to the same degree. Lord, you forgive me like I forgive other people. Do you pray that prayer? Do you pray, Lord, the way that I treat people, Lord, please treat me like that. The way that I forgive people when they hurt me, when they upset me, when they offend me, when they say something against me, Lord, in the same way I forgive them, please forgive me. Do you pray like that? Or your prayer is, Lord, please don't Don't treat me like I treat other people, and don't be forgiving of me like I'm towards other people, because I hold things against them and I want to get them and I want to hurt them. And what's your prayer? That's just a little side point, but it's important to side, because you'll find that this whole thing really, as it's talking about our spiritual authority and our position in Christ and our reigning with Christ, relationships are really important. If your relationships are out of balance, they're out of whack, they're out of line, you'll find in life, in terms of you walking in spiritual authority and being able to walk in these things that we're talking about, you're going to struggle with that. You're violating a fundamental principle. Relationship is really important. And we'll see the context, even when we look at Matthew 18 a little bit later. The context about that is your relationship with brothers and sisters, whether you've got something against someone or if they've got something against you, you got to deal with it. So it's a good little thing that the Lord's put in there about, but maybe you can pray that way. Lord, forgive me like I forgive everyone else. And if you can't pray that, start forgiving everyone else properly, and then you can pray that prayer with confidence. And that's, it says, lead us not into temptation. And that's basically not saying God tempts us. It's through trials, is actually going through trials and difficulties, not that God tempts us. Lord, lead us through that. Deliver us from the work of the enemy, the evil one, the enemy. Okay, so I want to have a look at this, particularly where it talks about the kingdom of God, where he starts off. This is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, holy or hallowed be your name. Now that is a declaration. He's not praying a request. Lord, become holy. Father, become holy. He's declaring, he's making a declaration, holy is your name, and he is holy. Our Father in heaven is a holy God. He's a righteous God. He is a just God. And that's a part of a declaration in our prayer, in our worship. It's not a request. It is a declaration. And in the same sense, the next phrase, which is your kingdom come, it's not a request. It's not saying, Lord, please let your kingdom come. Lord, please let your kingdom be established. It's actually an imperative, an active imperative, which means that it's like a command. It's like, stop, come, go. It's boom, it's active doing, it's now, bang. And in the same sense that when Jesus is saying, remember, he's teaching us to pray this. This is not Jesus praying this for his benefit. He's teaching us how to pray. And he's saying there's that imperative, your kingdom come, not a request. It's a pronouncement. It's echoing the edict of heaven that the kingdom of God is going to come in power and authority, and has come and will come in my circumstances, in my life, in the things that I am facing now. And this is a whole way that Jesus is telling us how to pray. Father, holy is your name. Your kingdom come. And we're talking about the kingdom of God is coming. Certainly has come in our Lord Jesus Christ. And we want to see people come into the kingdom of God. We want to see the gospel pronounced and spoken so people come in and know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. There's certainly that sense, but there's a sense that he's telling us how to pray. This is how I pray for me in my situation, in my circumstance, in my mess, in my life, in my struggle, in my challenge. I say, Lord, your kingdom come into that situation with that power and authority of your kingdom to come into my life, into the situation, into the very circumstances that I face. Not a request, it's a declaration, Lord, your kingdom come down into the thing that I'm going through. Your kingdom come down into the things that I am facing, declaring and the kingdom of God. Your kingdom come down. It's so important. It is a decree. You're echoing the decree of heaven when you say those things. And it says, your will be done. And again, Jesus isn't asking us, say, oh Lord, please let your will be done. God's will be done. His word never returns empty and void. It achieves, it accomplishes the very thing, the purposes for which it was sent. And his will be done. It's a declaration. And so in my situation, in my circumstance, in the reality of my life and what I'm going through, I declare, Lord, that you are the Father in heaven, but your kingdom to come down, your kingdom coming in power and authority into my circumstances, and your will be done, not a request. It is a declaration that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I want to spend a little bit of time on that because we're here on earth, guys. If you didn't understand that, that's where we are. And so this is the reality of everyday life. This is the reality of how we live our lives. and the importance of that. It talks about our daily bread, and so we bring our needs before God, but it's not. We don't come as a beggar to God. We're not coming as a beggar when we say, give us our daily bread. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us. We're coming from the fact we have a Father in heaven and the kingdom of God. And remember, where is the kingdom of God? It's within you. We've spoken about that. If you didn't get that, go online and listen to it until you understand the kingdom of God. It's with you and it's in you. We already talked about that. And so you're declaring that kingdom of God. You're declaring it in your circumstance, in your life, your situation. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Lord, your will be done in this situation. Not whatever the enemy is trying to do, not his plans, and he's trying to cut the legs from under me. No, your will be done in Jesus' name in what I'm facing in my life. And about seeing his kingdom come in our life. And then the way that he frames all this, again, I want to talk about on earth as it is in heaven and really talk about it, because as I said, that's where I live. Spiritually, I'm in heaven in the sense that my relationship with God is right because of Jesus Christ. I am justified. It's just as if I'd never sinned because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. And I can boldly enter into the throne room of God. I can apprehend his blessings and his promises because of Jesus Christ. All of those things are there for us. And he rounds us up about yours is the kingdom and the power and glory. Remembering it's his kingdom. It's his eternal kingdom forever and ever. This is a powerful prayer and this is a powerful way to pray. This is not just coming with our list and ticking them off as we go. This is coming from a position of authority and a position of strength that we come when we pray and we come before the Lord. We acknowledge he's in heaven. Holy is his name. Your kingdom come with that power and authority. And we declare that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Just 1 Chronicles 29:11 is a great prayer in 1 Chronicles 29 with King David. Gives this incredible prayer. And he finishes it like this, and this is very similar to the ending in Matthew 6 there. It says, yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and majesty and splendor, for everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted over all. And that's a powerful thing to have in your mind when you're praying and to declare that kind of thing when you pray. Lord, you are sovereign. Lord, you rule. And so it's not a little begging session when we come before God. This is a time of coming and pronouncing that God is with me. He's in me. His purposes will stand. And we declare that even as was spoken prophetically about putting the enemy under our feet. I want to talk about it because this actually uses those kind of words were contained within this passage where it talks about your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God is above all things. Amen? Amen. So how do you pray? You begin by praying with that. Lord, in my situation, your kingdom come, Lord, and your will be done. Or do you come from a beggar perspective and you come and say, oh, please, Lord, the biggest hairy, scary devil has got me and I'm in a real trouble here. Please help me, Lord, help me. And sometimes out of desperation, we're so crushed and maybe seem so overwhelmed in our emotion, that's probably sometimes the best that we can do. But that's not how Jesus is telling him how to pray. He's saying, I want you to pray. You pray and you're just speaking forth the power and the kingdom of God and declaring it over your situations. And that's how you can be an overcomer. That's how you cannot have defeat in your circumstance and the thing that we are going through. But talk about this thing about on earth as it is in heaven. On earth, now, here, today, on earth as it is in heaven. And to declare that, decree that and to apprehend that in my situation and the thing that I am going through. Now, there's an interesting scripture in Matthew 16, and this is, first of all, it's Jesus with Peter. Peter's just had this revelation about who Jesus is. And many people are saying, oh, who do you think I am? Oh, some are saying this, and some say you're Elijah, and some are saying this and this. And then Jesus says to Peter, well, who do you say I am? He says, you are the Christ. He's the Christos. He's the anointed one. He's the Messiah. He's the anointed one. And so he says that. And then Jesus, in response to this revelation of knowing you are Jesus, you are the King of Kings, you're the Lord of Lords, he says, I give you, this is Jesus now talking, I give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Wow. Pretty cool keys to have, isn't it? If you had a rich uncle and he says, look, here's the keys, you can have the keys to the Lamborghini. Yeah, really? really, I can go for a spin in that. I can go, really? Well, he's given you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth, happens to be where I am, will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And he's given us the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And then he says that, so it's not just for Peter. Some people might say, oh, well, that was just Peter. You know, like he was a really cool apostle, even though he was a hothead. He was like, you know, like a rock and like the church and that apostolic thing that sort of started. And no, it's actually far more than that. It's actually for us than that. And in Matthew 18:18, and this is what Jesus said. And it's good to know the context of Matthew 18 before we read it. Because in Matthew 18, the whole thing about, hang on, you got problems with your brother? Well, before you blab to everyone about it, before you put them down and slander them and have a go at them and attack them and tell everyone what a horrible person, what a horrible thing they've done, so don't do that. That's not scriptural. It's not godly. You go to them in love and in grace, speaking the truth in love. You bring that thing to them and talk to them about it. And if they don't receive it, well, then maybe you need to take a leader along with you to help with that. And maybe, okay, maybe it has to come before the pastors, the oversight, to deal with something if you can't resolve it in a proper and godly way. But so the relationship, again, is really important about this stuff. Really important. Guard your relationships if you want to have spiritual authority and be able to work in situations, because we all go through horrible things in our lives at times. If we're going to be able to overcome in those things, make sure you guard your heart. Keep your heart soft before God and soft to other people, soft before them. If you allow bitterness or hardness into your heart, you're going to really struggle to have authority in the situation and the circumstances that you're in. And in fact, you'll even leave a little door where the devil will just keep getting in there, and you'll find that the rug keeps falling, pulled from underneath you. Guard your heart, guard your relationships, keep your heart soft to God and to others. But this is what he says in Matthew 18:18. He says, truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. So he's given us these keys, incredible keys that we have as believers. And part of our using those keys is our prayer. Part of the way that we pray is how we use those keys. It's important how you pray. Some people think, oh, prayer, it's boring. Or prayer, you know, I'll do it because I know I have to. You just got no idea if that's you. If the idea of prayer bores you, or the idea of prayer is something that you've struggled with, it maybe because you've never understood what prayer really is and how important. You've got the keys of the kingdom. Start using the keys. Start praying. Start using the kingdom, the authority that you have. Because when you've got keys is the power to open. It's the power to shut. And it's really saying, I'm giving you incredible authority, guys. I'm putting authority into your hands. The authority of heaven is placed within you, placed within your hands. I'm giving you the keys. I'm giving you the authority of heaven. And when we pray, we've got to know that when we're praying, I'm praying there holding the keys. I'm not begging, Lord, please give me the keys. Lord, where are you? Or where am I? Or no, we're saying, no, I hold the keys when I pray. And I'm going to stand up and I'm going to hold what God has given me. And I'm going to declare that as I begin to pray. Yeah, I'll ask the things. Give me my daily bread. Deliver me from this and help me in this, Lord. But I'm coming from such a strength because I'm coming with the keys in my hand. I'm not coming with a beggar's cap or a beggar's bowl. I'm coming with the keys of heaven when I stand there and I pray and declare. And when you pray in such a way, the very gates of hell begin to tremble at a believer who suddenly begins to realize there's an incredible kingdom authority and dominion that has been given to them in their life. And I pray that we all grab a hold of these keys and we use them and use them for what God has intended. So talks about he's given these keys that to bind and also to loose. So what does he mean by that? Because again, when we're praying, we're praying that your kingdom, about his kingdom, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And it's bringing down something. It's actually executing something. You're actually echoing the edict of heaven when we pray with such a power and such authority and in such a way as that. So what does actually mean to bind? Now, some people think that means that we're going to run around and every prayer meeting we're binding every demon we thought of or couldn't think of, and let's make a list of every demon that anyone ever thought of. We've got our 637 demons, and we're going to start at number one and bind him, and then we'll work our way through, and 10 days later, we better start again. And off we go, and bang, 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 bang through that. Don't laugh. I know a church that does that. Not in this country, but in another country. And that's, as soon as they walk out the door, all the demons jump back on. And then they got to come the next day. Every single day they come and they purge themselves every morning of all the demons that they picked up during the day. What a fear, what a bondage. What a field day the devil must have. They have a party celebrating however many demons every day. It's not about that. Binding is not about that. The word bind there in the scripture, it means to put under obligation of the law. To put it under the obligation of the law. What law? It is the law of the kingdom. See, every kingdom has its laws. Every kingdom has its rules. Every kingdom has its ways of working. And God's kingdom has its own rules. It has its own laws. And so that when we're praying, we're going to actually bring the government of God. We're going to bring the edicts of heaven. We're going to call those things forth that God has spoken. Thy will be done, because we are echoing what God is saying in the Spirit. And we know that we can pray with such a confidence. And you know that you can pray for healing. And you know you can pray for God to meet your need and brokenness of relationships to be healed and restored. You know that, because those things are God's heart that are revealed in the Word of God. And so it means to put under obligation of the law. And so when you're praying, you pray in such a way, you're actually bringing an obligation. You're putting things, circumstances, not people, but you're putting circumstances, and particularly we're seeing at the moment, excuse me, the things of the devil. He cannot violate those things of God. He is bound by those things when you begin to speak forth and declare God's purposes, God's decree, what God wants in my situation. And I'm not asking God, oh, please, Lord, do you want to heal me? He's saying, well, what do you think I died for? I died on the cross for that. It wasn't fun. It was so that you could, yes, you could have eternal life, but you could have healing on your body. And so we don't ask God, is it your will to heal me? It is his will. He died for that. What more proof do I want that he wants to heal me? What more proof do I need that he loves me? What more proof do I need? He's given us everything on the cross. And so I can begin to pray, not wondering and not, oh, will he, won't he, should he, could he? No, I'm declaring. And I'm putting it in line with God's will, God's decree of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. The same word there to bind. In Luke 13, 16, it talks about this woman that Jesus is healing, and they're all getting upset because it's the Sabbath, you know. Can't heal people on the Sabbath. That's work, isn't it? And Jesus heals her because he has a love and compassion for this woman. Luke 13, 16, then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whose Satan has been kept bound for 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her? So put under obligation of the law. It means that under obligation of God's plan, God's purpose, what God wants in the situation, declaring that and bringing that into being as we pray and declare that, the same word. In Romans 7, 2, about that word, again, it's in a legal sense. It says, for example, by law, a married woman is bound to her husband as long as he is alive. But if her husband dies, she's released from the law that binds her to him. The same word there about binding. It's the same word about it's a legal thing. It's to put under obligation of the law. And so when you're praying with that kind of authority, it's no ifs or buts. Well, because you know this is what God said. Holy is our Father in heaven. And we begin to pray and say, thy kingdom come in my situation. The kingdom of God comes into my situation. Your will be done in my situation and my circumstance. And we pray in such a way with that authority. We come as a child of the King, as an inheritor, as a joint heir with Jesus, not as a beggar, but we come with that kingdom heart and authority. We come and stand with the keys in our hand, not wondering whether we've even got anything. We've got the keys of the kingdom. And so we can say those things. You're executing God's words as you begin to pray with the power and authority in that way. Such a powerful way Jesus was telling them to pray. Such a wonderful way Jesus was telling them how to pray. And then it talks about loosing. Well, what about loosing? Well, if you loose something, the word there, it means to deprive it of authority, to declare something unlawful. That's illegal. It's not right. That's against the law. And it means to break the law. And not just to break the law by infracting it, not just break the law, you know, you sped, so you broke the law. It actually got rid of the whole law about speeding. You dispense with that law. You get rid of it because it's not a right law. Now, speeding, by the way, is a good law. Don't go home and speed. I wasn't saying that. But that's what it means. And so if the devil's tried to come in to something, into your life, into your situation, and it's become almost like a law in place, that you seem every time you try to do something, this bad thing happens. And every time I try to rise up, then this happens. And every time, always this thing that seems to come in there, and it's almost like an unspoken law that seems to operate within your life. And maybe it's an area of bondage, and you try to struggle to get through this thing, but it just seems to be, it's almost like this law. You know, you keep getting angry, you're still getting your temper, you're still saying things you shouldn't say, or doing things that you shouldn't do, and it just seems to be caught in a pattern of behaviour and things, and it's a real struggle. Well, then it says, well, you've got to come and you've got to loose that. It's to deprive it of the authority, deprive the devil of whatever authority you may have surrendered to him, you may have given to him. No, no more. That is unlawful, that the devil should have authority in my life, that he should control my life, that I should be subject to these things by this law, the spirit of lawlessness that seems to be working and trying to work even within my own life. And so to loose means to deprive it of authority, declare it unlawful. So that's it. That's enough. Enough. That's it. That's gone. We're not having that anymore. And it means also to release or to deliver. And Romans 5:19, just in a legal sense, again, we're talking about legal things here. We're talking about the kingdom of God, binding and loosing. It's bringing the kingdom rule, kingdom reign, kingdom dominion, kingdom authority, and bringing that as we can do that even as we pray. In Matthew 5:19, it says, therefore, if anyone who sets aside, which means to loose, if anyone looses one of the least of these commands and teaches others accordingly, will be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. And so it's set aside, it's nullified. If you nullify what God has said, well, you've got a problem. But if we nullify or set aside the things that the devil has tried to do and the devil has tried to say. And that's what we're doing when we're praying. 1 John 3:8 puts it this way, about the very reason, why did Jesus come? What was the reason that Jesus came? This is what it says in 1 John 3. It says, the one who does what's sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. That's exactly the same word as loose, to loose the devil's work, to destroy the devil's work. That's why Jesus came, with that prophetic word about the enemy and just stomping him under his feet. Well, that's what Jesus did on the cross. He stomped the devil's head into the dust, grounded his head into the dust, took all dominion and power and authority off him. And because he had a rebellion against the King of Kings, and the Lord said, no, enough is enough. It's finished, boy. It's finished. It's done. All power and authority belongs to our Lord Jesus Christ. But the context of what we're talking about is our praying. And this is how Jesus is saying, I want you to pray. This is how to pray, guys. How to pray, honor the Lord, let your kingdom come down in my circumstances. Your will be done. Your will be done in this situation, on earth as it is in heaven. And when I stand and pray, I'm holding the keys. I have the keys of heaven within my hand. How can we despair? Often we're despairing and we're wondering, is God there? I'll look at your hand and say, oh, hang on, I've got the keys of heaven in my hand. I have authority, and the way I can begin to use those keys is I can begin to pray, but not pray as a defeated weakling or as a little beggar coming before God, but I can stand as a son of heaven, a son or a daughter of the Lord Most High, and begin to stand in that authority and begin to pray and declare into my situation. I begin to engage that key, begin to make that key turn. Jesus came to loose, get rid of, cancel out, nullify the illegal activity of the devil. And that's exactly what Jesus has asked us to do. Now, it doesn't mean we go around huffing and puffing at people that are, you stand on the corner and we're praying against those sinful people that are in there gambling or whatever they're doing in there. It's not saying that. It's saying this is how you should pray. And he's making it applicable even to your daily bread. This is everyday stuff. This is the things that I need. This is my life. This is real in my own heart, the things that I need, the things that I'm going through, the things that I'm facing. And he's saying this is how to pray, guys. This is how you are to pray and to come. And so if the enemy's in there, you're going to speak what God's purposes are. You're going to bring kingdom. Let the kingdom of heaven come into my situation. Lord, I declare that the kingdom of heaven is coming into this relationship. It's coming into my finances. It's coming into this circumstance, this health issue, whatever it is. Lord, I see the kingdom of God coming in. Your will be done. And to pray in that way. You might have things on your heart you need to pray. Yep, bring those requests. Bring those petitions. But you come holding the keys, not with a beggar's bowl, when you come and you pray. And to begin to stand, this is how we pray. And that on earth as it is in heaven, this is how we're to pray. And this is part of grabbing a hold of the kingdom reign. And a lot of us will always come with our beggar's bowl. Throw the keys away. Don't even realize we've got them. And we come as a beggar. And we're asking God to do things he's already done. Lord, you know, love me. Well, I've loved you with an everlasting love. And I can't love you any more than I love you now. I loved you to the point of the cross. And Lord, heal me. Well, by his stripes you were healed. I've already bought that for you. And we begin to change our mindset when we begin to pray. Because this is Jesus saying, guys, this is how I want you to pray. This is how you should pray. To begin to pray in such a way. Because the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. The devil's trying to have a go at you, and he will have a go at you. He'll try. And you can either let him do that, put your tail between your legs and crawl in a corner and cry and say, Lord, you've forsaken me. The big, hairy, mean devil has got me. Or you can say, no, hang on a minute. I got the keys of heaven in my hand. I have the name of Jesus. Holy, holy is the Lord. Thy kingdom will come in my situation. I declare that. I speak it forth in my life, in my situation. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Not the devil's stuff, not his illegal activity. That's not going to have sway in my life. And we can cut that off in the way that we begin to pray and begin to come in that position of strength and authority. Declare the kingdom of God over your situation. Learn to do that. Learn to pray with authority. Learn to pray with spiritual authority over your life. And you're the main spiritual authority over your life. Other people who maybe have some authority over you, and I'm going to talk about all those things today, they can pray with you, but really you have an authority over you. You're the authority over your life. Some people think, oh, I don't have a Christian husband, therefore, you know, I'm not covered. Well, you have an authority over your own life as a believer. You have an authority. And that thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth, and begin to pray in that way. You have such amazing power within your heart. You're holding the keys to the kingdom, and you begin to use those as you begin to pray. And this is how you should pray, Jesus said. Not coming with the beggar's bowl or the list of 10 million things, and God wants us to pray for those things and bring your list. There's nothing wrong with your list, that's fine. But don't come as a beggar. You come declaring God's purposes, declaring what God wants. Thy will be done. If you're not sure what God wants, well, then there's a thing called a Bible. You can open it up and it'll tell you what God wants. It'll tell you what God's heart is. Does he want me to ask forgiveness? Let's have a look. Yeah, I do. I have a look, and I look at Matthew 18, or have a look at that, or Matthew 5 if they're upset with me. Yeah, he wants me to do that. Some of the things that we just think, oh no, look, I don't know. Well, we do know, we just don't want to obey. And so we do those things. Get our relationships right. Keep your relationships healthy. Keep them good. Keep our attitudes good. And then you'll have that authority to be able to pray in such a way. And I pray today that we grab a hold of this. You've got the keys to bind and to loose. You can bring God's rulership. You can bring God's law. You can bring his reign, his dominion into your circumstance, and which is bringing that law, executing, which is binding, is what it really means, to put under the obligation of the law of heaven, God's edicts from his throne of God. You can pray with such a way, and if the devil's in there, you have the ability to destroy his work, to cut it off if he's trying to have a go in there, to cancel. That's illegal. You've got no right to do that. And declare, that's illegal. What you're doing is illegal. You have no authority in my life, in my family, in my circumstance. You have no right. And how dare you even think that you can try to do that to me and to my family? How dare you think that you can attack me in such a way or attack my family in this? And you've got the keys and you stand there and you declare God's heart and his way. And obviously we honor God and we worship God. We come with a soft heart. We're not arrogant. We don't command God. We're not saying that. When I say, you know, thy kingdom comes in imperative, it's like a command, doesn't mean we're bossing God around. No way. He is the boss. We're under the King of Kings. But we align our hearts with him. We align our thoughts with what he wants. And we apply the word of God in our life. And we pray and we hold those keys. And we begin to reign in life. And so I pray that God has spoken to us this morning, maybe about whether you do pray or how you pray. Maybe it'll change that, your whole perception of really what prayer is and how to pray in your situation. Maybe you felt so powerless in your situation for so long, and that the Lord needs you now to say, come on, that's enough. Enough's enough. You're now going to, you speak the kingdom of God in the authority of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ into your situation. So let's stand this morning. I'm going to pray for us this morning. I pray that a light has gone on for some people this morning. Pray for all of us that when we pray, we're going to stand and pray with the keys in our hand, not with a beggar's bowl. We're going to have the keys of heaven, which have been won by Christ. Remember, the devil tried to take them when man surrendered his dominion in the garden. And Jesus came and said, no, buddy, these are the keys. He's given us the keys. So, Father, I just pray now for each and every one of us, Father. Lord, I pray for those, Lord, that may have been going through long-term struggles, Lord, or feeling overwhelmed in their circumstance. Father, I pray, Lord, that they just see themselves just standing there right now. Lord, as they stand before you, they'll see that there's these keys that you place within their hand. The keys of heaven, the authority of the kingdom of heaven has been placed within their hands. And so, Father, I pray to help each of us to see that, Lord. We're not an afraid person in the corner. Lord, we don't have our tail between the legs in defeat. But, Father, we stand, Lord, in the presence of the Almighty God, who is holy and is righteous, Lord. We stand, Lord, but we stand with authority. And, Lord, that we can speak forth your kingdom and declare it into our circumstance, into our situation. Lord, that your will be done in Jesus' name in our circumstances, Father. That we'll see things on earth even as they are in heaven, Lord, in our situation, Father. Lord, as we begin to bind and as we begin to loose, Lord, as we put things under obligation to the Lord, that your way will prevail and must prevail, Father. As we loose, as we destroy, cut off every work of the devil, of the enemy, Lord, that we see victory in every heart and in every life. Father, we claim that for each of us this day. Lord, I claim that, Lord, for anyone that is here. Lord, that they're thinking, this sounds good, but I don't know if I can rise. Father, I pray that something of the Spirit of God would rise within their heart right now. Lord, there'll be a revelation. No, you hold the keys of the kingdom. Jesus gave them to you. He gave you that power and that authority. And so, Father, I pray, Lord, that we begin to see that, Lord. We begin to pray in such a way. Pray, Lord, with that authority in the name of Jesus Christ. And Father, if there's anybody here today who's never given their life to Jesus, Lord, who's under the other kingdom, is in the kingdom of darkness, who doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ in a personal way, Father, I pray they'll have the courage this day to say, I don't want the kingdom of darkness. I want Jesus in my life. I want him to rule in my life. I want his way, his will to be done in my life. So, Father, I pray if there's anyone like that this day, Lord, they'll be touched of you, Father, in Jesus' name. Let's worship the Lord. If you want prayer this morning, I'd be happy to pray with you.